of you look at your life and say, I don't know if I have what it takes. I'm not really sure. God takes common, ordinary people and uses them in extraordinary ways.
This is Straight Talk.
Once again with you, this is Mark Jobe, and we are in a series entitled Bullseye Living. You know, sometimes it's hard to stay on track with God. What I love about 2 Peter is Peter was a guy, a normal guy, a guy that stuck his foot in his mouth a lot, a guy that jumps out of the boat and then starts drowning, a guy that at one moment Jesus is saying, blessed are you, Peter, because only God could have revealed that to you. And then Jesus has to turn around and say, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was a common fisherman, but he had this incredible, impulsive, passionate love for God. And he relates to the common person, the person that's struggling. And 2 Peter is Peter's last book that he ever wrote, and he's entering to his final days, and it's a lot about warning, making sure you stay on target, making sure you don't miss the mark, kind of the final letter to people that he loves, warning them about keeping their life on track with God. So I hope you enjoy this series as you gain some principles as to how to stay on track with God and hit bullseye living.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We begin a brand new series today called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. It's a study in the book of 2 Peter. Our text will begin in chapter 1. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Do I Have What It Takes?
I'm going to begin reading out of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. I've entitled this message, Do I Have What It Takes? Do I have what it takes? The big question I want to answer this morning is that. You see, I'm convinced that there's some of you that are sitting right now in this auditorium, and you have a question mark in your mind, and your question is this, do I really have what it takes to be a follower of God, to turn my life around? And to be all that God intended me to be. Do I really have what it takes? You see, Peter, he introduces himself at the beginning of this book, and he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember who Simon Peter was? It's interesting that he introduces himself as Simon Peter, because when Jesus met him, Jesus said, Peter, he said, Simon, I'm going to change your name. And your name will no longer be Simon, your name's going to be Peter, which in the language of the day meant rock. So imagine that, that's a lot tougher name than Simon, right? Simon is too wimpy for you. Your new name is going to be Rock. Because he was changing Peter's identity. Up until that time, Peter had been a wishy-washy individual. He's the guy that when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, hey, Jesus, can I come out to you? Jesus says, come. He starts walking, and then Jesus has to save him because he starts drowning. He's the guy that says to Jesus, you are the Messiah. And Jesus turns to him and says, wow, Peter, God had to reveal that to you. And then a couple minutes later, he has to say to Peter, Pete, get thee behind me, Satan. He's the guy that's impulsive. He's the guy that told Jesus, I will never leave you, deny you, forsake you. I'll go to the death for you. I'm your boy, Jesus. And Jesus said to him, before the dawn comes, you will deny me three times. And he finds himself either cursing, cussing, and denying Jesus. You see, Peter was a guy, he was a fisherman, he was a common man. And I love this about Jesus, and I love this about the plans of God, because God takes common, ordinary people and uses them in extraordinary ways. Some of you look at your life and you say, I'm just ordinary. I'm not really sure I have what it takes to really live for God and be all that God has called me to be. I know people like that, and I know there's some super Christians out there, but some of you look at your life and say, I don't know if I have what it takes. I'm not really sure that I have everything inside of me to be one of those strong, stable Christians. I'm not really sure I have what it takes. And I believe Peter's answering that question for us. And so this entire first chapter is really about answering the question, do you have what it takes to make it? And so if you're one of those people that have been saying for a while, I really want to follow God, but I'm not sure I have everything necessary to do so, then you need to listen up this morning because this message really is for you. It says, after introducing himself, Peter says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So Peter's writing this letter. It wasn't the only letter that he'd written. He'd already written 1 Peter. He's writing 2 Peter to people that were questioning, and he's writing this letter to get them on target and keep them growing in God. And so he says, I'm writing this letter not to people that don't have faith, but I'm writing this to people who do have faith, but need to develop their faith and grow in their faith even more. And then he greets them in a traditional greeting that the early church used often, and I like it. It's grace and peace to you. Doesn't that sound better than, what's up, dude? Grace and peace to you. Every time they saw each other, a lot of the believers would say grace and peace. Why grace and peace? Because these two characteristics are so powerful. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. See, without the grace of God, we'd be exposed to the judgment of God and we'd get what we deserve. But the grace of God gives us favor and merit that we don't deserve and that we can't earn. And we need it every day. And then he not only says grace, he says peace. What is peace? Peace is not the absence of conflict, but peace is this inner sense of contentment that is given to us supernaturally by God so that in the midst of our trials and tribulations and frustrations and headaches and busy schedules and cell phones and deadlines and mortgage payments to pay, that we can have this sense of inner contentment without losing our calm. Grace and peace to you. Let me just say it. Let me just pray it to you. Pray it over you. Grace and peace to you. And I receive that. I receive it for my own life. Grace and peace. Come, Lord, give it to me. Grace and peace in abundant measure. Then he says to them, be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the themes that you'll see over and over in the book of 2 Peter is the theme of knowledge. In fact, 11 times in 2 Peter, you will find references to knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And you will discover that knowledge is important in growing your Christian walk in God. Scripture says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's our lack of knowledge that causes us to go down the wrong roads, and it's the knowledge of the truth and the knowledge of God that allows us to go to the next level. And now he gets into the contents of this entire message. And Peter starts writing. And I love how he starts out. Again, he's answering the big question, do I have what it takes? Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Wow. Let me just put a spotlight on that first phrase and break it down for you. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Wow. We could stop there, close our Bibles, and go home this morning. Because that is such a powerful, radical, life-changing statement. Do you realize what you just heard, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given by 2 Peter? What Peter is saying, hey, average Joe, hey, you that don't think you're really measuring up that well, you that don't have a theology degree, you that have just started to come around and think, I don't have what it takes, here's what God is telling you. He has given you His divine power. Now notice, it's divine power. You know what divine means? Divine means of deity, of God. It's supernatural. This is not about how much you can bench press. This is not about your stamina. This is divine, supernatural power. This is otherworldly power. This is not the kind that you and I know and understand here. This is coming from an outside source that is not of this world. It's God's divine power in the heavenly realms, the power, the dunamis of God that created the heavens and the earth, the power of God that resurrected Jesus from the dead, the power that breathed in the man and gave him life. This supernatural power of God is being released to us. And it's giving us not just 30% of what we need, not 70% of what we need, but this power is giving us every single thing that we need right now, today, and for the rest of our lives to be able to live out our life and live it in godliness. Wow. Did you just understand what I said? That you have right now everything you need. Everything you need. Pastor, I'm really facing a trial. I have a really lot of things. I really need God to... No, you have it. At this moment, right now, there's nothing that you're lacking. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Everything you need. All the love, all the power, all the wisdom, all the grace, all the mercy, all the perseverance is already right now in a latent form inside of you. It's been given to you, deposited inside of you via the power of God through His Holy Spirit. And that's what it says right now. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. The word for life there is Zoe, which means that every aspect of life, life in general, God has empowered you with all the tools that you need. And godliness means to live that life in a God-centered way. In other words, to become the person that God has called you to be. You already have everything that you need to be able to live that way. That's powerful.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Do I Have What It Takes? Which is from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1.
He answers the question, do I have what it takes from the get-go, right away? Now, how does that power and everything that we need come to us? Now notice, I said that you have all that you need. I didn't say that you've accessed all that you need. How many of you know there's a difference between having all that we need and knowing how to use all that we need? You know, I'm not a mechanic. And someone could say, Pastor, you know, your car really needs some good maintenance. So I'm going to give you a whole set of tools and I'm going to give you the latest technology and fill your garage with it. I'd go out to my garage and I'd dust the toolkit a little bit and say, yep, looks good. Man, I got everything. All the latest. But if my car's broken down, let me tell you, it's going to stay broken down. Because just because I have the tools doesn't mean that I know how to use the tools to fix my vehicle. And so some of you as believers are sitting there failing with dysfunctional, broken down spiritual lives, not measuring up to what you could measure up to, not because you don't have what you need, but because you don't know how to access what you need and you don't know how to use what you need, although it's already there. Your problem is not a problem of acquiring. Your problem is mainly an issue of knowing how to access and use what you already have. And so the Apostle Peter says to them that all this divine power, all that we need for life and godliness comes through the knowledge. How does it come to our life? It comes via our knowledge of who? Our knowledge of Him. In other words, the road that gives you access to all that you need comes via the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of who? The knowledge of Jesus Christ, who called us by His own glory and goodness. You didn't choose God. God chose you. You didn't decide to reach out to God. God has been reaching out to you way before you even thought about reaching out to Him. Let me just clarify something. I know you say, well, I found God. Let me tell you. I know you say that, and I understand what you mean, but you didn't find God. God found you way, but God wasn't lost. You were lost, not God. God's been there waving His hand, reaching out to you, putting people in your path, seeking to reach out to you, speaking His word. God has been with multiple forms, reaching out in powerful ways, and finally you see His hand and say, hey, I found God. No, God found you. God wasn't lost. God's been reaching out to you, calling to you. Listen, you have the wrong perspective if you think that God has been up in the heavens with His arms crossed and His back to you, hiding in the clouds, and suddenly because your effort and your determination and your hunger, you broke through the clouds and made an extraordinary effort and found God. That is not the way it happened. God has been reaching out, calling your name, working through people, putting clues in your heart and in the skies and around you, reaching out to you with His divine love, sending His Holy Spirit, convicting you, putting signs in your life that sometimes you've just walked by and haven't even seen, doing miracles that you would acknowledge and then walk away from, trying to work in your life for a long time. It's out of His glory and goodness that He's reached out to us. And it goes on to say that through these, through His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises. You see, it's because God is good and for His own glory that He's given us a bunch of promises. You could read through the Bible, there's a lot of promises. There's tons of promises. You need to know His promises. What is a promise? Well, a promise is God's word, typically, that if you do this, I will follow up and do this. A promise is God's word that something is going to happen, that God is going to uphold His end of things. That's a promise. Now, God's promise is not like our promises. Sometimes we swear, oh, I swear by my mother's grave, or I say, by the way, if you do that, stop. Why are you swearing by your mother's grave anyways? If you break your promise, you're going to go to her grave or something? Come on, stop dishonoring your mom and saying it that way. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In fact, you have no business saying, I swear. The Bible says, don't swear. By heaven, by earth, by God, by this, by that. The only reason you have to swear is that people can't trust your word. You can't just say yes and people believe you, so you have to swear. So people say, oh, so you're really serious about it. No, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't swear, don't promise, don't cross your heart, hope to die. Don't do any of that. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right, that was a freebie. So, it says, through these He's given us the very great and precious promises, so that, why has He given us those great and precious promises? So that through them you may participate. Here's another big bombshell. So that through these promises that God has given us, we may participate. We may become participants in, is the better translation, what? Become participates in the divine nature. Hold on a second. What is He saying here? He's saying that through the promises of God, you become connected and participants with the divine nature of God. Do you realize that nature determines behavior? Nature determines appetite. Nature determines what we like or what we dislike and how we see the world. Now, you can take a pig. And you can clean a pig up. And you can put a pink ribbon on a pig's ear. And you can spray some J-Lo perfume all around that pig. And you can slap that pig and say, "Honey, you're a woman now. Now you're a clean, sophisticated, civilized young gal. I want you to live like that." And as long as you have that pig in a nice environment, a nice, clean, and safe environment, you're going to think, "Hey, we've made a lot of progress here. This pig is actually starting to seem and look civilized." But here's what I know about a pig. I know that at the moment that you let that pig out of the clean, safe corral and you let it loose and there's a mud puddle over there, that pig is going to make a beeline towards that mud puddle and it's going to roll around with that nice little pink ribbon all over and it's going to snort and it's going to wallow and it's going to get mud all over it. Why? Because you've cleaned up the outside of the pig, but you have not changed the nature of a pig. If a pig has a pig's nature, our nature determines our appetite and our destiny and our behavior, and you can clean up the outside, but unless you alter the nature, we will continue to do what we've always done. Hear me well. Most religion focuses on trying to change the exterior of a person and make them behave in a higher enlightened way, and it's behavior modification on steroids, spiritual steroids, to try to change someone to look and behave different than what they are, but without changing the inside. Christianity is not about religion. I've said this so many times. You should know it by now. Authentic, true Christianity is about relationship. Religion tells you you're bad. You're not behaving the way that a higher power tells you you should behave. Here are the rules. Try to live by the rules. Clean up your life. Make an effort to improve yourself so that you can present yourself to the higher power and be better. So change your outside, but inside you still feel like the old you because your nature has not been altered. And so many people try religion and they say, "Well, I tried religion. I gave up on it because it was too frustrating. I kept failing. I kept falling. I can't do it. It's not working for me." Why? Because you've tried behavior modification without changing the inside, your nature. Christianity is about altering your nature. It's about giving you a divine nature. Christianity is about the divine nature of God via His Holy Spirit. At a moment in time in your life where you come to the end of yourself and are willing to acknowledge by faith that you cannot change yourself or alter yourself. And so you go through this strange ritual of opening up your life to the power of Almighty God, admitting that you've fallen far from where He wants you to be, admitting that your nature is one of sinfulness, and saying, "God, I now open up my heart to You. Come inside of me. Cleanse me. Dwell inside of me. I receive Your gift and I receive Your nature. And now change me from the inside out." The Bible calls that being born again. Now, your birth gives you your nature. You see, whatever you were born dictates your nature. The reason that you have to be born again is that your first birth gave you your sinful nature. Your second birth gives you your divine nature.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. Our message was called, "Do I Have What It Takes?" And it's from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.